All right. If you would open your Bibles this afternoon to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. We'll begin reading in verse number 30. And stand, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. Stand with me. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 30. For we know him that hath said, "Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." Just in case, you know, we forget that. A lot of times we like vengeance, but we forget the vengeance that belongs to us, that we deserve. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us, and we're so thankful for your precious word. Now, God, we ask as we look today, that, Father, we might look upon your face, and, Father, we might look upon your word and understand your desire for us. And, God, realize that you have a plan and you have everything well in hand, that we might put our confidence and faith in you. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, as Paul is talking and speaking about some things, and I really enjoy the book of Hebrews, so full of wonderful things, because it talks about a better covenant and about good things to come. And I remember and I got saved, and I was a Catholic. I grew up a Catholic, and then I got saved and came out of the Catholic Church. And I remember as I read through the book of Hebrews, and I saw that I had a once for all sacrifice. And when I saw that it was a better thing and that he made me perfect when I came to him, I got very excited about that. Because in the Catholic Church, it's, well, you know, you do good. If your good works outweigh your bad works and you got enough saints praying for you, you might make it to purgatory and then to heaven, hopefully, one day. You know, there was no assurances. There were no assurances in that doctrine. And I thank the Lord for the day that I got saved and I began to read his word and I began to become full of assurances. It changed my whole attitude, my whole outlook as I came to Christ. And this is what Paul's talking to him about. He says there, when he's talking, he says in verse 32, he said, "But call to remembrance of former days in which after you were illuminated," that's the day you got saved. He said, you need to remember back, and it does you good to go back and remember the day that you got saved. The day that you realized, no matter how much of it you realized, that you were a sinner on your way to hell and that Jesus wanted to deliver you from that if you would just call and ask, repenting. And it's good for you to go back and remember that day and remember how Jesus dealt with you, how the Holy Spirit convicted you. Now, people have different testimonies and different accounts of how God did that, but it all works the same and the same end, salvation. You become illuminated. And it's good to remember that, to think about that. And that's what Paul's saying. Go back. Call to remembrance of former days in which you were, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. And that's a natural part of salvation that a lot of people don't understand. You know, when you get saved, you're going to feel more guilty for your sin than you did before you were saved. You're going to feel worse about it. Because you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, making your sin appear exceeding sinful. That's why that happens. A lot of times people, they get saved and then they start feeling really bad about themselves because they start looking at the sin in their life. But I tell them, that's normal. That's normal. You know, the dirt shows up a lot more readily on a pure white garment. Amen. It stands out, doesn't it? A red spot of blood will show up real clear on a white garment. And that's why that is. We become hypersensitive to that sin in our life because of the cleanness that Christ has wrought in us. And you endure a great fight of afflictions. Part of that, he says, is because you're made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. Okay, people start making fun of you and stuff because you name the name of Christ. And then he said also, the other partly is partly whilst you become companions of them that are so used. You all of a sudden start hanging around church people. And you want to be in the house of God. And like that woman in the letter said, well, if you want to see me on my birthday, you're going to have to come to church. Amen. People start, you know, you start becoming companions of those who endure those same things. And people are like, why do you want to hang around with Christian people? You've got a problem if you don't. Call yourself a Christian and you don't want to be around God's people, there's something wrong. Something real wrong with that kind of salvation. I know when I got saved, I loved being around the people of God because they were all saved too. The thrill that I had of being born again, they understood what that meant. You know, I was giving my testimony about my call to preach at the last night of the revival and was sharing that with y'all, and Brother Fox, you know, he came to me, he said, you know, it's good that we share that. He says, but you know, only people who have been called to preach as we have really can relate to what that is. You know, it's good for you to know and for you to hear those things, but people who have gone through the same call, they every time you tell it, they feel it too. They remember it. And it's a particular thing, just like your salvation. You know, and other people who are saved, they get excited about your salvation just as much as they are about theirs. Amen? That's why I want you all to put your testimonies on some video so we can share it with the world on the website. Because it's important. And other people, I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. I never get tired of hearing somebody tell me how they got saved. Never do. I had somebody tell me one time, if I hear you talk about being saved in the Marine Corps one more time, I think I'll just bust. Somebody actually told me that. I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that, brother. I love hearing about how you got saved. Maybe I'm weird. Everybody looking at me nodding your head. No, I mean really weird, you know. Stop nodding your heads, okay? But there's a difference. There's a desire to be with the people of God. He says here, he goes on to say, for ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Think about it. Paul was there in bonds, and he had a need. And they came time and time again to meet his need. And every time the offering plate was passed, nobody was saying, are we taking up an offering for him again? No, he said they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. They were glad to give to Paul's need every time he had one. That's what being born again does to you. And that's what a child of God, that's the way it ought to be for a child of God. That's the kind of feelings, the kind of zeal and emotion that goes in with salvation. You're always glad to give. Now, when we don't, then there's a problem, isn't there? Because Paul's telling us this is a common experience for those who are saved. Notice, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves. They knew it in their hearts, and they knew it in their selves when they did it. Knowing yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. It's okay if I lose some here. I got enough over there to last for eternity. Amen. It's a better and enduring substance. You know, I found that the money I have here does not endure. It is a bag with holes in it for me. And I think the whole bottom seam ripped out of mine. You put it on the top and it falls out the bottom. But I have in heaven a more enduring substance. It's better too. It's something that won't fade away. Now he's saying all this because, as happens in this world, we tend to forget. And we'll start to get discouraged or depressed. And I know you know what I'm talking about. You may look at me looking like a calf looking in a new gate, but I know you know what I'm talking about. We get that way, don't we? Oh, man. Well, it's just not worth the trouble. You know, I've had people tell me when, you know, it comes around election time, well, my vote doesn't count. It doesn't matter if it counts. Man, you better get out there and put it out there. Amen? It doesn't matter if it counts or not. You still need to go on record before God as having said, I did what I was supposed to do. Amen? God. The lot is cast into the lap. The whole disposing of thereof is of the Lord, the Bible says. You and I must do all that we know we should do. So what doesn't do no good? Well, you're not the one who knows, and neither am I. Well, it won't do no good to go on visitation. People don't take the trash. They don't come to church. That doesn't do no good. You don't know that. Amen. You don't know the work that God is doing in their heart simply because you went by and gave them a tract. There's a guy come into the store and told my wife, you know, you're the ones who pass out these. They've left three of those pieces of paper at my house. I think he was trying to ask her to not send them anymore, but he didn't want to come out and say it that way. But he knew who went to church there, amen? And he knows the gospel we're preaching, doesn't he? God will deal with that, man. You don't know what good it's doing. It's not yours and mine to say. It's just not. I think about Noah when he built the ark. God said, make it out of gopher wood, pitch it within and pitch it without. Put a big door on it. But he didn't tell him to put any hinges on it. Didn't tell him to put a rope on it to pull it up. Didn't tell him to put a lock on it. He knew it was going to flood the earth. Got this big hole, gaping hole in the side of the boat. No way he can pick it up. He had to be saying, what good is this doing us? You know, if he was like most of us, he'd have left the door off or closed it up. Had winches and hoists to pull the animals up in. But God said, no, you make a door. I'll close it. And that's what the Bible says. God closed the ark. It wasn't Noah. Don't believe those Hollywood movies where they show them, I got rope in there, pull it. That didn't happen. There was not a rope on that door. When it came time, God went, whoom. So I never seen nothing like that happen. Well, I never seen anybody walk on the sea either. I never seen the Red Sea stand up 2 miles high in the sky either. With dry pavement, it walks. I never seen any of that either, but I know it happened. Amen. I know it happened. God closed that door. What do? Paul and his concern for the Hebrews, I believe it's Paul who wrote the book of Hebrews, sounds like Paul, said this. Number one, keep your confidence. Keep your confidence. Our confidence is not in ourselves, but in the Lord. The Bible asks the question, who is sufficient for these things? The answer is God. Keep your confidence. your confidence. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. So you need to keep your confidence in God. The Bible says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work, your labor of love. He will not forget it. You and I need to keep our confidence in a God who never lies. Because sometimes in this world, you and I are sitting there scratching our heads, not sure what's going on. We need to keep our confidence. It has great recompense of reward. God rewards faith. All right? That's what God rewards. Abraham believed God, the Bible says, and he was the friend of God. It was by faith. There's a whole chapter in Hebrews on faith and the rewards of faith. What faith wrought, what faith brought. Amen? There's a whole chapter on it. Faith is important to God. Keep your confidence in your God who never lies, who never fails. Keep your confidence. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. When you remember back to being saved, when I look back, no matter what is going on, when I look back to the night I got saved, when I think about the fact that God gave me the gospel and that all I had to do that night was to kneel down on my knees and say, God, you said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, God, I'm calling. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins, to save my soul, and to take me to heaven when I die. I'm trusting you with everything. That's all it took. And when I think about that night that I said that and I got up off my knees and I started to walk my fire watch again, and all of a sudden, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. When I look back at that night, it makes everything else melt away. It makes all my problems seem like little ones. Because the greatest problem I ever had was the sin of my life, the filth of my soul. And Jesus took care of that for me with His blood. You need to cast not away your confidence. Then He says here, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Not just keep your confidence, but keep waiting. Keep waiting. Keep waiting until God delivers what He's promised. He said here, for ye have need of patience. That is one of the things that Christians lack in large quantities, is patience. The ability to wait on God. We have got to wait on God. It doesn't mean you don't do anything. It means you keep doing what God has already shown you you're supposed to do until He's done with that. Amen? You got to keep waiting. You got some loved one you're trying to win to Christ? You can't just throw a few tracks at them and say, oh, well, it's not happening. Remember, God rewards faith and patience. You've got to keep waiting. He says there, notice how He says it, ye have need of patience that after ye have done the will of God. It's only after that you've done the will of God, that you received the promise. Only after, that's when you receive the promise. After you do the will of God. You aren't going to get it beforehand. Keep waiting I surrendered to preach back in 1983. Tell you, that's what? 32 years ago, almost? This is my 8th year as pastor here. From 1983 until I became the pastor here, I was serving God, doing His will. I believe He wanted me to pastor a church, and I was wanting to pastor a church. That's how long I waited on God to receive the promise. That's how long I stayed in my life doing the will of God to receive the promise. You can do the math. Listen, God's time is not our time. And just because you snap your fingers doesn't mean He's going to step too. We're supposed to step to His. Be patient. Keep waiting. After you've done the will of God, you can receive the promise. He says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. When God the Father says it's time, God the Son will say, I'm gone. And it nothing will stand in His way. There's nothing that can stand in the way of God fulfilling His promises to you and to me. You know, the problem is most Christians don't have any promises from God. They don't. Well, I mean, they know they're going to heaven. They think that's the only kind of promises the Bible's talking about. You ought to be looking for some promises from God in your life, amen? You got to look for promises in the Bible. You got to go to God. That's why we talked about this morning, about Israel, about Jacob, getting a hold of God, being obstinate, saying, God, I need You to bless me. I need You to bless me, and I won't let go until You do. That's when you receive the promises. I have a promise right there. And there, and there, and there. There's one up there, and there's one down in the Dairyland. Those were not accidents. They were not happenstances. God showed me in His Word that He was going to give them to me before I even knew who my wife was. Do you understand? God promised me. And I lived in the light and the glow of that promise. As I lived for God, as I served the Lord, and He'd say, it's coming, Tim. And I'd say, all right, God. Nothing stops God from delivering on His promises. Too many Christians are going about haphazard in their lives, just wandering around hoping they'll bump into a blessing somewhere. Instead of actually getting a hold of God, getting a hold of the will of God for their life, and focusing on it, and staying on it, and staying at it, and looking for the hand of God. Keep waiting. But if you never get in the book, if you never get in the Bible, if you never get alone and pray, children, hey, if you don't get alone and learn to get alone and pray to God now, you'll never receive the promises. None of you will. I won't. I got things that I'm looking for God to do. And I know He's going to do them. And I'm going to stay and patiently wait until I see it happen. And when I do, I'm going to shout. I'm going to have a spell. Because God never, ever, ever fails to keep His promises. Ever. Keep waiting, Paul said. Keep waiting. Notice what he says. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. He says, keep working. Don't draw back. If I could introduce you, if I could show you all the people who I have known who used to teach Sunday school, they used to run a bus route, they used to be soul winners, they used to be in the jail ministry, they used to write letters, they used to do all this stuff. It's all the stuff they used to do for the Lord. Hoop-de-doo. You used to. What are you doing now? Don't draw back. Keep working. Keep working. Can you imagine? Noah and his sons out there building the ark. Boom, boom, boom. And Ham sits down. Dad, how long are we going to be doing this? Well, God said we had to build it, son. Well, I know, but you know, I haven't been on a picnic for, you know, I love picnics. I haven't been on a picnic for 3 weeks. And, you know, I just would really just rather stop and just, you know, smell the roses. You know, Dad, they say don't forget to stop and smell the roses on the way. All I'm smelling is gopher wood and pitch. I'm just tired, Dad. Maybe like Bill Cosby, he said, how long can you tread water? I don't know. Well, I'm sure he said, well, son, if we don't build it, nobody will. If we don't build it, not only will we all die and the animals all die, but God will be denied by us. It won't stop him from existing, but what will our testimony be? Get your hammer. Get up. We've got to keep working. Because there's a day coming when no man can work. We got to be done by then. Okay, Dad. You got to keep working. You got to keep working. I know sometimes it gets frustrating. You invite people to church and they say, oh, we're going to come. And then you look for them for week after week after week and they don't show up. And you say, keep working. Just keep working. You know, we'll put those pizzas in the oven. And I like those little triple meat Totino's pizzas because I can eat one of those as a nice little meal. And I'll put it in the oven and I'll set the timer. Beep, beep, beep. Because the box promises it'll be done. Right? I go away, the timer goes up, beep, beep. Open it up. Leave it in a couple more minutes. I could just say, oh, forget it, and then eat an undone pizza. But that wouldn't taste very good, would it? Well, it's the same thing with the things of God. You have to keep working with them. And work until the work is done. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes and gathers his children home. Amen. Paul said here, the just shall live by faith. Another place James said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You know, you'll know I believe God because of what I do. You'll know that's why I do it, because I believe him. He says, just live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He said, I can't rejoice in a brother or sister who draws back. I wish I could. I wish I could just rejoice in everybody, but I can't. It's not because I'm a meanie. Not because I'm a gripe gut or anything like that. It's because there's no joy in people drawing back. There's just no joy in it. You know? Sort of like if you're playing a volleyball game and you're down and everybody just stops playing because, well, we can't catch up anyway. Don't you hate that? And yet people do that with the things of God. No, it doesn't do any good anyway. I'm tired. Nobody else is trying. Try being a pastor someday. You know, everything that the people in the church don't do, guess who has to do it? Because it must be done. Somebody's got to do it. Because I ain't going to draw back from the work. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to quit. I think we ought to take the word quit out of our dictionary. Or put in there only something only sinners do. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to lie down. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to deny. No way. I am God's free man. And I'm free to work. Period. It doesn't matter what anybody says. I don't care if Obama and all the congressmen came in here and told me I couldn't. I'd tell them to go peddle papers. They better get a paper route because I ain't paying their bills no more. I'm not going to quit preaching the gospel. Talked to somebody on the phone the other day talking about the ministry, and I told him, I said, listen, you can't pay me. Folks, you can't pay me to be a pastor. Okay? You can't pay me to do that. Because I'm going to be the pastor of this church whether I get any money for it or not. It is true. You can't pay me to preach. It's what God's called me to do, and I'm going to preach whether anybody gives me a love offering or not. You can't pay me for it. It's a call of God. And I'll do it no matter what happens. I don't care if there's no lights, no air conditioning. I don't care. I'm going to preach the Word of God. And I'm going to be the pastor of this church. God just says that the people of the church, they that preach the gospel, should live of the gospel, and that it's the blessing to the people of the church when they take care of the man of God like they're supposed to. That's the church's opportunity. But it doesn't matter. Because a dispensation of the gospel is committed to me. No matter what, I still have to preach. And I am not going to draw back. He said, but we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's what we're about. We're about souls. This whole thing with written the parsonage, I said, ma'am, I said, we are not a money-making venture. That's not why we're here. We aren't here to make money. We're here to preach the gospel, to bring people to Christ. And that's what we're here for. If you think we're here for any other reason, you better get your Bible out and read it. That's what you and I are to be about. Paul says, think back. Remember the day you got saved? Think about it. Think about it. Keep your confidence. Keep waiting. Keep working. Because there is a reward at the end of the day. And that day is coming. Let's all stand to our feet for just a few minutes this afternoon.